Once a Marine, always a Marine. He went to OCS in Quantico, Virginia for a commission and training. He completed 3 years of active duty at Camp Pendleton, California, and continued on in the reserve in the Los Angeles area for the next 20 years, retiring as a major in the Marine Corps in 1977. He is a member of the Marine Corps League, as well as the MOAA here in Tucson. Jim also was a lifelong scout. He joined the Boy Scouts when he was a kid, disappointed to only achieve the Star Scout, which is still a great achievement, but continued in leadership positions from 1964 to September of 2023. He received the Order of the Arrow Vigil Honor, the San Gabriel Valley Council Silver Beaver Award, District Award of Merit, Distinguished Commissioner Service Award, Scouter Training Award, and the Scouter Key Award, as well as the Eagle Mentor Pin from his grandson, James. Jim spent the majority of his career as a credit and collection manager for various companies. The main companies he worked for was Texaco and Forcenary Company in Southern California. In addition to his regular full-time job, and this is really interesting, he sold tickets and supervised ticket sellers at the USC football games at the LA Coliseum for 30 years. He also ushered and supervised ushers for the Raiders games, and these two experiences gave him opportunity to supervise the tickets takers of the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. He worked as games management for the Rose Bowl games, the men's and women's world soccer matches, and many other concerts and events at the LA Sports Arena, Rose Bowl, and Coliseum. Jim and Lois resided in Alhambra, California, after meeting and getting married at Lakeview Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena, and they retired to Tucson, Arizona in 2002 to help care for their only grandson, James Whipp. And while in Tucson, they regularly attended Christ Community Church. And also, I found out that he was also president of the local HOA here, too, among many of his other accomplishments. So, thank you.
Hi. My name is Cheryl Tenold, and I'm Jim's daughter. And we're going to see how I do. So this is something I wrote as a gift to my father for Christmas of 1999. He was a hard person to buy for, so instead, I gave him something that I created especially for him. Every child wants the approval of their parents and to be loved and understood. This was my way of sharing with my dad that I was paying attention to the lessons he taught me, even if he didn't think I had. Okay, I'm gonna be a mush ball, so just bear with me, please. So it's called I Am My Father's Daughter. So many of the traits and the characteristics that I have are a gift from you. You have always been a man who stands up for what he believes. While the path you choose may not be the easiest, you are prepared to stick with it because you feel very strongly that it is right. This trait that you have given me is one that is most admired by the people in my life. I know the difference between right and wrong, and I'm not afraid to do what is right, even if doing what is wrong would be easier. You have given me the gift of strength in my convictions, no matter the adversity. You are a proud American, and even more proud of being a United States Marine. You taught respect for our country's flag, the country and its flag, and the men and women who fought for the freedoms we sometimes take for granted. In my job, I take pride in going to any length necessary to get military veterans the honors that they so greatly deserve. You have shared with me and the many families that I assist at work your wonderful gift of patriotism. You have a love and appreciation for the art, spirituality, and way of life of the American Indian. You have instilled the meaning of the white buffalo and have taught the distinguishing characteristics of Navajo and Hopi artistry. I can even identify some of the more common Kachina dolls. You have shared your knowledge, respect, and love for this culture, and I hope to pass along this gift that you have given me. Your idea of a nice, relaxing vacation is a camping trip. You have a love for the outdoors and the freedom that it provides. You are willing to try any new activity like rock climbing, cross-country skiing, kayaking, and whitewater rafting. You have given me the gift of an unrelenting sense of adventure. You have made your respect for nature and the environment and your quest to help preserve it part of your daily life. You are a great example of reduce, reuse, and recycle. You did those things long before it became a slogan or a cause. Now I continue this way of life. This is a gift that you have not only given to me, but to the generations yet to come. You are a very organized man that has a file for everything. Tom, it was an organized mess. If someone wants a map or a list of activities to do in another state or what needs to be taken on a camping trip, you will have the information for them in one of your files. You have a most organized closet and a clearly labeled garage. You have passed along this gift of organization to me, and boy, does it make things easier to find. You are not a man to make disparaging remarks about a person's race, religion, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. You have shown by your example what it means to be respectful of others. You allowed an environment that was not ripe with prejudice or bigotry. I am known for being politically correct because the only thing I am prejudiced against is ignorance. You have given me the gift of acceptance of those different from me. You have been involved with Boy Scouts for as long as I can remember. You get no pay, very little recognition, and yet you continue because you want to pass along to those boys the values and lessons that Boy Scouts taught you. You give back to your community and show how important it is to volunteer your time. I did the same thing with Job's Daughters and will continue to volunteer my time and energy for things like Ronald McDonald House and Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. You have shown me that giving to the organizations and causes that you believe in is a very special gift. You are a frugal yet generous man. While money may not always be plentiful, whenever there is something that someone truly wants or needs, you find a way to get it. You give much more often than you receive and really do know what you're talking about when it comes to finances. I was not always ready to listen, but once I did, life was much easier and more financially secure. Thank you for the gift of financial wisdom. You are a great example of a committed relationship. So few couples are married for over 35 years, because this was written in 1999. You have true partnership. Each of you has a life of your own, and then you have a life together. This has been a wonderful example of what makes a lasting marriage, and I consider it a gift for both Ted and I. Thank you for the many gifts you have given me. So that was the poem that I had written to him for Christmas. And I wrote this the year before I got married. That marriage lasted 18 years. I gave it a good run, and I had a good marriage, but even my dad could see that it had run its course, and it was time for me to move on. My dad got to come to Montana in December of 2021, 4 years after my divorce, and visit me in the house that I had designed and had built. I thanked him again for the lessons he taught me that allowed me to achieve many levels of success. When I came to Tucson in November, I knew it was to say goodbye. He thanked me for finding the Starfish Mintel Me Care Home and thanked me for taking care of him. It was the best gift he could have given me, to know that he was okay and that I had done the right things for him. Regardless of our disagreements or differences, I loved him and wanted the best for him. I am so grateful that he's no longer in pain and is at peace. I believe that he has been reunited with my mom, his wife and partner for almost 56 years, and all those that he has loved and lost during his lifetime. I love you, Dad, and I wish you peace.
Haven't got time for the waiting game. And the days turn to gold as they grow few. September, November, and these few golden days I'd spend with you. These golden days I'd spend with you. When you meet with the young men early in spring, they court you in song and rhyme. They woo you with words and a clover ring. But if you examine the goods they bring, they have little to offer but the songs they sing and a plentiful waste of time of day. A plentiful waste of time. But it's a long, long while from May to December. Will the clover ring last till you reach September? And I'm not quite equipped for the waiting game, but I have a little money and I have a little fame. And the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and these few precious days I'd spend with you. These precious days I'd spend with you.
Swam the three little fishes and the mommy fishy too. Swim, said the mommy fishy, swim if you can. And the swim, swam, swam right over the dam.
Down in the manny in a itty bitty pool. Bam, fiddle fitty and a mama fitty foo. Fim, said the mama fitty, bim if you can. And he fam and he fam right over the dam.
Poop, poop, did em, dud em, what em, chew. Poop, poop, did em, dud em, what em, chew. Poop, poop, did em, dud em, what em, chew. And he swam all over the dam.
Stop, said the mommy fishy, or you'll get lost. But the three little fishes didn't want to be bossed. So the three little fishes went off on a spree, and they swam, swam, swam right out to the sea.
Pop, said the mama fitty, you did wash. But the three little fitty didn't want to be bossed. The three little fitty went out on a spree, and the fam and the fam went out to the sea.
Poo-poo, riddle, diddle, razzle, blip. Poo-poo, riddle, diddle, razzle, blip. Poo-poo, riddle, diddle, razzle, blip. And he swam out to the sea.
We yell the fishies, oh, here's a lot of fun. Swim in the sea till the day is done. So they swam and they swam, it was all a lark. Till all of a sudden they met a shark.
We yell the little fishy, what a fun. We'll swim in the sea till the day is done. Honey flame, honey flame, and it was a warp. Till all of a sudden they saw a shark.
Poo-poo, skiddly did. Poo-poo, skiddly did. Poo-poo, skiddly did. Till all of a sudden they saw a shark.
Help, cried the fishies, oh, look at the whales. Quick as they could, they turned on their tails. Back to the pool in the meadow they swam and swam and swam back over the dam.
Help, cried the little fishies, look at the whales. Quick as they turned on their tails. And back to the pool in the meadow they swam. And they swam and they swam to the dam, old dam.
Poo, 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 foodly wreck, saggy. Poo, poo, poo. Rick, Saki, boo, boo, boo. and he swim and he swim back over the dam.
Oh, that shark almost ate us for seafood, Mama.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue sky drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. Again, don't know where.
All right, bear with me here as I try to get myself composed. As an Eagle Scout, these are promises and principles I live by in my day-to-day life. If it wasn't for Grandpa Jim to be there to encourage and support my growth as a scout, I would be a very different person than I am today. The Scout Oath, the promise a Boy Scout lives by. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. These you embodied in your day-to-day life, and I'm so grateful that I could learn from you and everything that I am today because of you. The Scout Law contains 12 principles a Boy Scout embodies. Each point pays tribute to how Grandpa Jim was. Trustworthy. There's never been a time that I can recall you ever lying, and you always kept your word. Loyal. You showed love and care to the various military organizations and to the scout troops you watched over throughout the years. Helpful. You were always there for me when I needed help while growing up. You led by example and taught me the value of being helpful to all. Friendly. You truly were a friend to all, whether it be because of scouts, church, or otherwise, I could count on running into someone that knew you. Courteous. I could always count on seeing you being nice and polite to anyone we came across, a value I hold true to this day. Kind. I saw you treat everyone with kindness as I grew up. You treated everyone equally, and as you all saw, he had a smile on his face always. Thrifty. You would always try to recycle when you could, and you would make sure wherever you ended up was cleaner than how you found it. Brave, you always pushed through to make it to the next day, staying independent as much as you could, regardless of how much pain you were in. Clean, I could always count on coming over to a clean house growing up, and you helped teach me the importance of keeping clean, even though I'm not good at it yet. Reverent, for as long as I remember, you are always involved with church, whether it be attending each Sunday service or going to Sojourners on Thursdays. A scout through and through, thank you for helping raise me to become the man I am today. Thank you for everything, Grandpa.
As I said previously, Jim made many friends on our church security team. Head of the security team sent this letter, I think represents the hearts of all of them. It says, Jim was a good friend and Marine through and through, and the guy writing this is a Marine. I first met him at Christ Community Church when he invited me to the Marine Corps League meeting. He always had an enthusiastic Semper Fi, Ken, whenever we would meet. I love his dedication to his church, his brothers and sisters in Christ. He was always there, rain, shine, pain, and all. Faithful to the end in the true Marine Corps fashion, the epitome of always faithful, Heaven's Gate have another guard. Semper Fidelis, Jim, and thank you for your friendship. Ken Arnold. Thank you.
Tough song to follow. Loved Battle Hymn of the Republic. My name is Tim Arrington. I'm privileged to serve as a pastor here at Christ Community Church, and it is a good indeed to be with you here this morning as we honor and remember and celebrate the life of our dear brother in Christ, James Thomas Whipp. Privilege it is to participate with you in this very special time. You know, for many of us, memorials and funerals can be difficult simply because they often bring a sense of finality that can be overwhelming. But I remind you of these two very important things today. First, our God is here. He is here now to offer both comfort and peace in this time of deep sorrow. So I encourage you to lean on him for the strength. Draw upon his everlasting strength, and I pray that in the weeks and months to come, as you grieve, which is certainly natural, that you will offer comfort to one another in love. Secondly, I also remind you that as difficult as days like these are, we as believers have a promised hope of eternal life in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can take comfort in the great promise, that great promise, and rejoice together today because Jim is experiencing that promise fulfilled. For at this very moment, he stands in the glorious presence of God the Father. You know, I became a pastor here at Christ Community Church 25 years ago. I was blessed with the opportunity to work with, we'll call them the more seasoned folk, the senior adult ministry at Christ Community Church. And through these past decades, we have learned so much together through our study of God's Word. And Jim was part of that Bible study for the last 4 or 5 years. But during those times working with senior adults, I have learned a great deal from them. I can't tell you how many times I have heard one of the senior adults say to me, "Tim, you know, I'm ready to go home with Jesus. Whenever he calls me, I'll be ready." When I first heard that, and that was decades ago, I thought I understood what they meant. I thought that perhaps they had just grown a little weary, tired perhaps, of many of life's burdens and struggles that they had been carrying. But now that I'm a little bit older, just a little bit, and I've lost quite a few personal loved ones, friends of my own, I believe I have a much fuller understanding of really what they were feeling and what they were trying to communicate. You see, it wasn't that they had grown tired of this world or tired of the way the world had changed around them. No, it's more like what we learn in the biblical account of Job. Like Job, they were beginning to yearn to be in the presence of God. With age and wisdom, they began to see more clearly the hope that God has given us through the work of Christ Jesus on the cross. In other words, the more time a believer spends with Jesus in his word, the greater his desire becomes to join him in heaven. In Philippians 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul said this, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, Paul viewed his life or death as a win-win situation. He was perfectly content to go on serving Jesus here on earth for as long as God would want, but he was also content with dying, if that was God's desire, because he would then be with Jesus. Win-win. If you've lost a believing loved one, whether it be a spouse or a family member or a dear friend, then you kind of understand that in a very real way, there's now sort of a piece of you that is already in heaven. Yet another reason for us to look forward to one day claiming that same hope for ourselves. Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2 says this, "The righteous man perishes, and no one lays it to heart. Devout men are taken away, while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. He enters into peace, and they rest in their beds, those who walk in their uprightness." What Isaiah is saying here is that there is no tragedy in being ushered from this life into the next when the next life is going to be spent in the presence of God. Amen? There is nothing to fear in that. Additionally, Isaiah is saying that God is actually protecting the believer from any further suffering here on earth. So with that knowledge, we can be somewhat more at peace when one of our loved ones passes and goes to be with Jesus. We are granted peace with God through faith, as Paul writes in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. He wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." As believers in Christ, we are given access by faith into a relationship with God, and we are able to rejoice in that hope. The hope that Paul speaks of here is our promised inheritance, the eternal life spent in the presence of Jesus. Paul knew this hope in heaven was not in vain. It was a sure thing. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 5 that we can even rejoice in our tribulations and sufferings here and now on earth. And how can we do that? Because we can rejoice. Because even our difficult life events take on new purpose and meaning when we know that God is in control. Our God is sovereign, and he sovereignly controls all things. We need only keep our eyes on him and trust him for his guidance and his provisions. In other words, we need not worry. God will indeed guide us and will provide for us according to his perfect will. Jesus himself said something very similar in Matthew 6, very familiar passage for most of us. He speaks to this idea of not worrying about our future because God knows all of our needs. Jesus said this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why then are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now, why would Jesus tell us not to worry about our future? Again, it's because Jesus knows that God will provide all we need in this life as well as all we need in the life to come. We're also reminded of this in chapter 14 of John's gospel, where Jesus says this to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." However, Thomas, one of his disciples, said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In that one powerful sentence, Jesus tells us the way, the only way to eternal life in heaven. He says, "Believe in me and follow me." He's clearly saying that as believers, our future has already been planned for us. And again, God has it under control. So we need not fear our passing. We need not fear the passing of believing loved ones, those who have entrusted their lives in Christ for salvation. For them, everything is planned down to the very last detail, even where we will stay in heaven. You see, James Thomas Whipp made a very important decision many, many years ago, putting his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that is wonderful news. Because Jim believed and trusted in Jesus as his Lord, we can celebrate today. Because just a few days ago, on the 16th of December, Jim stepped from this mortal world into the very presence of Jesus. And that fact, that Jim was born into the world at just the right time, to live when he did, to meet Lois and have a wonderful family, none of it was an accident, and neither was his passing. All the years of Jim's life, even until now, have been under the watchful care of God. And our collective memories of Jim are a precious gift from God, and I pray that those same memories will be a spark to love and support one another going forward. Friends, our brother Jim has claimed God's glorious promise of a new life. He is free from tears. He is free from pain, the pains of this world. He's been given new life of eternal joy in God's presence with a body that will never fail and never grow old, and a life that is full of purpose and significance. So I encourage each of you here, if you've not already done so, to reflect on these same truths that Jim himself came to realize and claim as his own. Because life is short, our death is sure. The time is now to profess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we are blessed by your holy word and the assurance of the promises, your promises in it. Father, may your loving arms embrace our dear brother Jim. I pray you will be present in a very, very personal way with his family, whom he leaves behind. Give them, please, your peace and comfort. May the memories of our brother Jim and his impact on the lives that are represented here May they knit together both the hearts of both friend and family member together. We pray this in the name and the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we find our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to claim the title of United States Army. Our flags unfurl to every breeze from dawn to setting sun. We have fought in every climate and place where we could take a gun. In the snow of far-off northern lands and in sunny tropic seas, you will find us always on the job, the United States Army. Here's health to you and to our Corps, which we are proud to in many a strife we fought for life and never lost our nerve. If the Army and the Navy ever looked on heaven's seas, they will find the streets are guarded by United States Army.
As we end our time together in this ceremony of remembrance of Jim, I'd like to give you this blessing. May God supply every need in your heart according to his riches and the glory in Jesus Christ. Peace to you and love and faith from God the Father, that he may encourage your heart and that you may know his compassion with a love incorruptible. Semper Fi, my brother. Amen. Cheryl and James would like to invite you to a light reception. If you just go straight out there to the next building, and a time of fellowship, a short time of fellowship as the services conclude. Thank you again for coming.